Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September 20th in the year of our Lord, 2016, hour 2 at 2. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founding fathers. We believe the checks and balances put in place by our founders absolutely brilliant. That, along with the supreme law of the land, is the key to the exercise. We don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Certainly would be in order. Interesting little tidbit for you. There's a magazine. I don't know if I had to call it a rag or a publication or a newspaper or what. It's online. But anyway, the Huffington Post once boycotted coverage of Donald Trump. Yeah, but now they're being forced to what? Write Donald Trump's success story? No, maybe not. All right, write that Hillary Clinton's campaign is kind of going under? Yeah. No joke about it. Dateline Washington, the publication that announced the boycott of Donald Trump campaign news, then covered it only in their entertainment section before finally looking for any way to trash Donald Trump. Well, they became the first group to literally publish a political obituary on Hillary Clinton's campaign entitled Why Hillary Lost. Now, I don't know if the Huffington Post is kind of relegated to the news of the Onion. Or what's going on here? Let's have somebody break it down for us. Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Thank you very much, Sam. It's good to be with you and Kurt, too.
What do you think? The Huffington Post almost wrote a campaign obituary for Hillary, didn't they?
Well, that's a, you know, coming from the Huffington Post, which, of course, is very liberal.
It's like the Onion, huh?
Yeah. To have them write the obituary. But, you know, even on NPR last night, as they were breaking down the campaign, they were, you know, really lamenting the fact that Hillary has just been going down in the polls and there isn't anything that she can seem to redeem. And they blame it on the fact that Trump has not made any major errors this week, which affect his poll numbers. Of course, he did have, the flap about telling the Secret Service that maybe they ought to disarm, see what happens to Hillary. Unfortunately, the media never did pick up on the fact that he was talking about gun control, that Hillary is, you know, so much pro-gun control. Let's see how she does without any armed escorts. But, that's typical for the media to, play up on the most sensational aspects of Donald Trump's thing. But Hillary Clinton has really been hurt, I think, by the health scare that happened at the 9/11, and the fact that even the liberal media admit now that the excuse of pneumonia was a lie, and that she does have some serious health problems. But they won't, of course, ever admit that the conspiracy theories are true conspiracies. They just continue to decry that this little episode will even enhance conspiracy theories as if all conspiracies are wrong.
Well, and that's kind of what they want to do. And some are saying that Donald's going to win. They're going to let him win only because what they want to do is they want to basically let him win and then torpedo everything conservative that he may consider doing. Any campaign promise he keeps, et cetera, they will just basically set him up for the fall. Any truth in your mind to that?
Well, obviously they're going to deal with it. If for Trump to win, he's got to win by more than 10 points. Because they can skew the election at least that much, and they usually never try because of exit polling, to skew it more than 10%. And, of course, the Trump people and most Americans would cry foul if it was very obvious that the Trump the election had been stolen, especially since Trump has talked about it being rigged. So it's going to be very difficult to stop Trump at this point. And so I think they will, of course, try to control him. One of the ways they're going to try to control him is to take control of the Senate. And I think it's a very high probability that the Republicans will lose the Senate. And then even Donald Trump can't put any decent Supreme Court nominees in because the Senate will stop it.
So you think Donald might win, but the Senate might get taken over by the Democrats?
Yeah, Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania is just barely hanging on by the skin of his teeth. If they, you know, it won't take but one or two Senate losses to throw it to the Democrats again. And that's typically what they do. I mean, look, when they had George Bush as president, you know, they had Democratic control of one house, and it blocked all the good stuff. Of course, George Bush wasn't a true conservative, but they did block any of the conservative initiatives, which gave Bush the excuse, of course, to compromise. And that's the way that they'll do it. Donald Trump, you know, may not compromise on the major issues. I mean, he certainly would veto the TPP if it passes. The Senate, of course, they're going to try to pass that before Donald Trump gets into office through a lame duck session. That's a very, very clear pattern that they're going to do to try to make it so that it can't be undone. Because while Donald Trump can veto something, he can't undo it without going through the liberal Senate. And so that's their strategy.
Now, let me ask you this, though. A lot of times the media has been famous for this. They have somebody kind of have a rise in the polls. They do really well, and it's almost like their surge. It's almost like waves. They let everybody have their kind of wave, their turn, before they really let the wave of who they want push and be sustainable. Is it possible that Donald's going to ride a big wave for now, and then the tide's going to turn a couple of weeks before the election, or no?
Well, I'm still convinced that the establishment really doesn't want Donald Trump. And they're doing everything they can, pulling every trick in the book. I mean, except for the fact that you have, you know, half a dozen globalists endorsing Donald Trump, that's to control him if he should get elected. You know, I've been in this long enough, Sam, I think, to get a sense of the media that they really don't want Donald Trump in office. And so I think they really speak for the establishment. The establishment's going to try to stop it. But Hillary is such a weak candidate. He's so unpopular. He's just got so little charisma that it's going to be very, very difficult. I mean, even among schools, the colleges, which are notorious for being leftist, the students, you know, one of the NPR people could only find one student they talked to who was for Donald Trump. Most of them were holding their nose and saying, well, I guess we're going to have to vote for, you know, Clinton. We wanted Bernie Sanders, or, you know, someone will go to Jill Stein, but Clinton is just very, very unpopular, even with the millennial group.
And the mainstream press's cover-up of Hillary's illnesses, that's starting to fall apart, too.
Yeah, it really has. And that was the top story of last week's World Affairs Brief on Friday. The cover-up of Hillary's health crisis is unraveling big time, especially when it was found out that, you know, Dr. Lisa Bardak, her attorney, said that she had non-communicative bacterial pneumonia. And several doctors came out of meetings and said, wait a minute, find me a textbook where that's even a legitimate disease. There is no such thing as non-communicable bacterial pneumonia.
Now, Joel, how did the doctor lie and think they could get away with that? I mean, that's a two-second falsehood, right?
Yeah, I mean, and she's been, Bardak has been covering for him, you know, Hillary Clinton's illnesses for years, and so it's no surprise that she would do this. But it, of course, gives fodder for both sides, establishment saying. And you look at the fact that she wasn't even taken to a hospital. I mean, when you have a major candidate collapsing on the street trying to get into the van, you'd rush her to the hospital. But that was countermanded by the Clinton campaign. Take her to a Chappaqua home, put a ring of guards around so nobody can even, you know, see her getting in and out of the car, and then she, you know, shows up fairly refreshed, you know, a few hours later. And clearly, you know, you don't go attend a 9/11 ceremony if you've got pneumonia. I mean, pneumonia is extremely...
Well, and you certainly don't bounce back an hour later saying, it's a beautiful day in New York.
Yeah, absolutely.
So some questions arise then. Some are saying that Chelsea's house really doubles as a hospital, a private hospital location on private property to avoid scrutiny. Any truth to that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you go to a hospital and you're going to have a public record. You're going to have lots of nurses and other things. It's going to leak out, potentially, that she doesn't have pneumonia. And so that's exactly why, you know, they took her to the home and they brought in the medical staff. And of course, you know, her medical staff has known that she's got these problems. I think she's got a lot of serious problems, everything from hypothyroidism, which leads her to be susceptible to cancer. She's had one surgical removal of a cancerous growth on her tongue. And it, you know, makes her susceptible to numerous other things, including Parkinson's. And there's several doctors that think she does have Parkinson's.
And there's all kinds of friends now, according to WND.com, that are speaking out saying Hillary does have Parkinson's. She's in stage three. We'll talk about that. What about doubles running around and acting for Hillary? Some are saying the double that came out, or that was a double that came out, you know, an hour and a half later going, it's a beautiful day in New York, and the person looked thinner and chipper, and we'll talk about that. Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com. Many of you have heard me talk about my vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this vigor stuff about? Well, vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called vigor. Would you like to improve your vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, so Hillary's fleeing to her daughter Chelsea's house. May very well have been a hospital there. Some are saying that that address was a medical address before, etc. We know that it was privately dealt with. There must have been some physicians or somebody there taking care of business. But I know this, when you have fatigue and you literally pass out because of heat exhaustion, if you have heat exhaustion and pneumonia combined, you don't get up an hour later and bounce back and go, oh, it's a beautiful day in New York, let me hug your child. That's just crazy talk. That doesn't happen. Joel Skousen, was it a double? What do you think went on?
No, I completely reject the double theory. First of all,
okay,
it's very, very difficult. I mean, it's not that difficult to find somebody who looks similar. But even people who are, you know, Elvis lookalikes and things, there are obvious differences. It's not something that you just say, wow, I just can't tell the difference. In this case, you could just, I mean, they could mention there's a little bit thinner and other things, but I just don't buy that at all. First of all, when you have something who looks, I mean, how do you imitate the voice? That's the one thing that usually doesn't come with a double who look alike. You just can't imitate the voice. And there was no imitation of the voice. It was her same gravelly voice. But the other thing is, where do you hide a person that looks that much like Hillary Clinton? I mean, other people have to know, oh, geez, she looks just like Hillary Clinton. I mean, you can't hide that person. Never go out in public for the rest of her life, you know, or at least be in that same area. It's just impossible to run that kind of a double scheme.
All right, so let me throw out a scenario that might play better. She doesn't have pneumonia at all. She wasn't dehydrated at all. She had a neurological problem, a seizure-esque type event. Once she gets away from it, once she gets calmed down, once she gets some meds, a little bit of liquid, a little bit of refreshing, she can come back and do fine for a little while.
That's exactly what happened, in my opinion. That's exactly what happened.
All right. Interesting, to say the least. Do you think the cover-up of Hillary Clinton's health problems can continue, or is it going to unravel completely? And then, hey, will she be forced to drop out?
Well, I consider that in the brief, and a lot of people are, former DNC chairman are saying that the Democratic National Committee ought to prepare for this in case there's, something comes up. And it could come up. I mean, her health is weak enough, but the fact that she comes back with so much vigor indicates that she's far from being down and out. And so I think this is a matter of, and when you're dealing with nervous disorders and things, the medication can wear off. It can have hyper side effects, as she has when that head cocking, uncontrolled laughing and other things that happen. So I think that's an indication of side effects of the medicine for these control. And they're really having to control her in that regard. But she is fairly strong and dominant and powerful when she is up, and that indicates that this is not so chronic that it can't be controlled with medication. So I'm really discounting the fact that she's going to be replaced. If she were replaced, I mean, there really isn't a good replacement.
Oh, you can get Grandpa Joe Biden up there.
Joe Biden isn't going to play well against Donald Trump. I mean, he just doesn't have any pizzazz. Makes too many verbal mistakes. Tim Kaine is just a radical leftist and globalist.
And most people don't know much about Tim Kaine, and it would just be a trotting out of who he really is plan, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, here's a guy who embraced liberation theology, which transposes Catholic teachings in the doctrine of class warfare and collective revolution. It's a Marxist philosophy. He went to Marxist-ruled Nicaragua to seek the counsel of Father Jim Carrey, an exponent of liberation theology. He's denied the Catholic positions on abortion and same-sex marriage. I mean, this guy just really, I don't think he's got any charisma at all. Now, Alex Jones thinks Hillary may even use her health problems to skip the debates, but I think she's too proud to do that. She'll continue to rely on perhaps sitting on a stool for physical support, and she'll have that miniature earbud in her ear so that her handlers can feed her answers and help her out. And that's a real major story that ought to be promoted more and more, is that she's being more and more carefully tutored as she goes along in a debate.
But do you think more and more people will expose that and catch on and not be able to continue to cover that up to where that'll be a hot button to where, hey, Hillary can't even talk by herself anymore?
Well, it's already happening, of course, among those who know. But, of course, her hairstyles now always are now over the air. She's never going to let her hair go back beyond the ear to show that earbud again.
I'm sure you're right about that. Now, let's ask this. Do you think that the stress of the campaign, the stress of being in the debates, in other words, oftentimes when you have these neurological disorders and things like that, stress really amps those up. In other words, you're okay, but when the stress comes, it comes back quick and sharper than ever. Do you think she can handle the stress if Donald gets under her skin? She may not be able to last through some of these debates.
Anything is possible, but I've never seen her go down, except for that coughing spell, which really wasn't a neurological thing. Just never seen her crash under stress. Remember, this is a very, very high-driving woman. This is a very dominant woman. She has got a nasty personality and tenaciousness. I think that she'll go into those debates well-prepared and you know, try to be cool as a cucumber, as she has been in most of the things. Of course, her cool as a cucumber personality grates on people as she continues to churn out things in that gravelly voice.
How about when Donald engages with her? You know, Bill O'Reilly is asking an interesting question now. He's like, hey, is Hillary's marriage off limits for the debate? And Donald's like, well, I don't want to attack her. If she's nice to me, I'll be nice to her. I don't know what's going to happen. They're trying to bait Donald into saying he's going to attack Hillary over a marriage. Right now, Donald's too smart to take the bait. But if a comment's made here or there, that the gloves could come off real quick, maybe even unintentionally, right?
They could, because, you know, unfortunately, Donald Trump isn't well-schooled in a lot of the true facts that he can put out. He tends to make a sloppy thing like this birther issue that he brought up. I mean, boy, he could have just really slam-dunked that issue.
Yeah, I mean, he could have said something simple like this. You know what? I don't know where Barack was born. They want me to say he was born in the United States, and I'll give the mainstream press. All right, he was born in the United States. Let's just assume that for now. I'll agree with that. However, the birth certificate's a flat-out fraud. It's a forgery. Let's trot out the reality and get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, precisely.
I'm putting $10 million into getting to the bottom of this. How about you? Hey, Joe Arpaio, come on up here, young man.
Yeah, he could have done that. He could have said it because they don't have any answers for that forged birth certificate. It's so clearly a forgery, a Photoshop forgery, and could have made a big issue of that. He could have made a big issue of the Social Security number. I mean, they've never been able to successfully answer how Barack Obama has somebody else's Social Security card.
That's no doubt. But so Bill O'Reilly asked him, you know, is this marriage off limits or whatever? And what they're trying to do is they're trying to goat Donald into saying something stupid, and then they'll let that unwind around Donald. Hopefully, he's smart enough to hold his tongue, because it'll go nowhere, even if he's right. Even if he's like, well, Hillary deserves to be attacked over her marriage. Look,
yeah,
it won't do any good.
That'll just gain sympathy for her.
All right. Well, now it brings up this next tidbit in your World Affairs brief. The role of leaks in today's politics. This is critical.
It is. It is. It's just amazing what we keep finding. And, of course, you know, Julian Assange keeps saying, you know, he's going to have some blockbuster. And no real blockbuster has come out, you know, of the Assange camp. I've always been a little bit leery of leaks because the leaks went through the Washington Post and the New York Times and other mainstream newspapers, and it was up to them, you know, to publish what they thought, and of course they covered up for the best stuff. I mean, even Snowden went through the Washington Post, and now the Washington Post is calling for, you know, the prosecution of Snowden. How hypocritical. But these leaks are really something. I covered the latest leaks that have to do with Colin Powell, was the globalist lackey, always has been, and Jeffrey Leeds, a big Democratic Party donor. First of all, the leak of Hillary hates Barack Obama, and she has never been able to accept the fact that he beat her in 2008. On Hillary's health, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse said that she couldn't barely climb the podium steps, so there's other leaks there confirming that.
All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live, Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com for his award-winning commentary on a troubled world in your email inbox every Friday. Audio versions available as well. And JoelSkousen.com for his incredible books and more. Back in a flash.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Like every other police agency in the country, the NYPD annually confiscates a huge amount of money and property through the process of asset forfeiture, in which such seizures can be conducted without filing formal criminal charges against the owner. Like many other departments, furthermore, the NYPD has no idea how much it confiscates each year, let alone what it has done with the proceeds. During a recent New York City Council hearing, the NYPD objected to a proposed city ordinance that would require it to release annual reports on asset forfeiture. The department, which incessantly boasts of being the world's most sophisticated municipal law enforcement agency, says that trying to provide an accounting of cash and property seizures is beyond its technical capacity. Attempts to perform the types of searches envisioned in the bill will lead to system crashes and significant delays during the intake and release process, declared Assistant Deputy Commissioner Robert Messner during testimony before the City Council's Public Safety Committee. The only way the department could possibly comply with the bill would be a manual count of over a half million invoices each year. Messner answered no when asked if he could provide any sort of accounting regarding the amount of money it seized during the past year. A Freedom of Information Law request filed by a private advocacy group called the Bronx Defenders showed that the NYPD has been taking millions of dollars out of the pockets of low-income New Yorkers under the guise of civil forfeiture proceedings, reports the Village Voice.
If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
As Joel Skousen was saying right before the pause, worldaffairsbrief.com is his website. In the latest World Affairs Brief, we're talking about the role of leaks in today's politics. You got to be very careful with leaks. You can't trust them. It's all the insiders. On one hand, you think we all get the scoop on them, but how much of it's intentional, how much of it is inaccurate? It's very hard to ferret that all out. But supposedly, they hate Hillary Clinton, or Hillary Clinton hates Obama, right?
Yeah, that was, I think, very accurate. Of course, that was Leeds' opinion of what he's heard talking to Hillary Clinton.
Well, we know that's true primarily because Hillary was supposed to be the lady in 2008 to get the slam dunk, and the young upstart beat her.
That's right. And, as I pointed out at that time, the establishment really doesn't like Hillary because she is going to try to run things. She isn't going to be a compliant puppet like they want her to be. I mean, she will be in many respects, but they can't trust her to not, rebel against some of them or try to run things and get in the way. No one likes her, he says, and that criminal thing ain't over. As I said, it was a confirmation in the leak about Hillary's bad health, couldn't climb the podium steps. Former Secretary of State Colin Powell resents Hillary Clinton's attempt to scapegoat him for violations of the Espionage Act, and she claims he gave her the idea of using a private server. That may not be totally untrue. Colin Powell may be trying to cover himself up, too.
Well, I'm sure he is, but that doesn't change the fact that it's all criminal.
Yeah, that's right. And, of course, on the trumped-up war against Iraq, Colin Powell and former U.K. Secretary, Foreign Secretary Jack Straub both breathed a sigh of relief when the U.K.'s Iraq War Inquiry confirmed, of course, there was no justification for attacking Iraq, but yielded no sanctions against anyone. The Bohemian Grove, Colin Powell apparently regularly attends the Bohemian Grove. He also admitted to Israel's nukes. Of course, that's not really too much of a secret anymore. But there was a very negative assessment by Colin Powell of the Bush administration colleagues, including Vice President Dick Cheney and especially Don Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary of State Paul Wolfowitz. I mean, it shows, for example, that there are many negative opinions that are suppressed among the elite, and you can get cast out of the big boys' club if these leaks get out, and that's why Colin Powell is very disturbed about these leaks, because it exposes the fact that he has very negative opinions about his fellow globalists.
And I agree, and these leaks have some validity, and we can use them wisely, but you got to be very careful about these leaks, though, because you never know. when it's a real leak versus whether it's tinged with something that'll eventually come back to haunt us, right?
Yeah, you know, whenever a leak comes out of the government, you want to be very, very suspect. These leaks that come out of these private hacking type of things, generally speaking, you know, there hasn't been, if anything, the best stuff has been suppressed by the mainstream press, which is allowed to vet these things before they're coming out. But I have yet to find, out of WikiLeaks or this latest out of DC leaks and others, anything that really smells is disinformation. But almost everything that's leaked from the government is disinformation.
No, there are basically a lot of people talking about an October surprise. Some are saying Hillary's going to step down or be forced to. Some are saying it's going to be a financial issue. Some people are saying, you know what, if Hillary bows out late enough in the game, they'll say we've got to suspend the elections to give the Democrats time to put together something. What do you think of all that?
Well, I've never bought into the conspiracy theories that that Obama's going for a third term. I mean, the globalists are not stupid enough to make everyone think, wow, the system really is rigged. You know, there's no such thing as a third term. And they do much, much better by simply getting a controlled candidate, as they've been trying to do before Donald Trump came on the scene, you know, to dampen the conservative outrage against the 8 years of Obama. And even though that Donald Trump, you know, could very well win the state, I think they can control him under most aspects, especially foreign policy. They may not be able to control him on the foreign trade deals and the wall, but everything else will, which is the major agenda. I take it back. Also, the refugee agenda, they wouldn't be able to get him to really go along with putting a lot of refugees in this country. There are three major issues that would really thwart the globalist agenda. But generally speaking, they'll stop him from fixing things. I mean, even if he knew how to, which I don't think he does, not understanding the real depth of the conspiracy throughout all of government and its law enforcement agencies. I just don't think, you know, he can get much done when they will have at least one House of Congress controlled.
Do you expect a lot of twists and turns left, or do you think Donald's just going to continue to gain in the polls, and Hillary will continue to sink in the polls, then it'll just become, I don't know if I should say a landslide, but a significant win for the Donald? Or do you think we'll see a serious bunch of twists and turns as we go?
No, I still think that Hillary Clinton's going to win.
Do you?
Yeah, because first of all, we don't have the majority anymore of conservatives, even conservatives, and there's a lot of conservatives that, you know, they won't be voting for Donald Trump, but you're going to have at least probably 10% go off to the Libertarians. You might have a few in Utah siphoned off for Evan, trying to think of his last name, the CIA agent that they're running up against Donald Trump here in this Utah election, Mecham. But in any case, I still think the Democrats outnumber us and that they're going to put Hillary Clinton into office.
And you got to remember, they got the mainstream press and they got poll tampering. And when you have a little bit of margin between the two, if it's a close race of any kind, the mainstream press can manipulate a lot, and then the election results can manipulate a lot. And it's very hard to, I mean, it might come down appearing to be to the wire, and then somehow Hillary squeaks in, kind of like Bush did in the hanging Chad scenario. It might be something similar to that, too, where it'll be very contested, but yet in the end, quite blurry, right?
Well, I think most of all, the establishment wants to be able to stick it in the face of conservatives. They see this is what happens when you don't stick with the establishment. You end up losing. Now you got Hillary Clinton, and it's all your fault.
Well, what about the people withholding their support from Donald? I mean, you got George Bush Sr. literally saying he's going to vote for Hillary Clinton. You've got Ted Cruz that won't go along. You got Kasich and some of these people. I'm not a believer in partisan politics anyway, but I'm saying if they're going to claim that Donald had to go along and sign a document saying he'd support the nominee, what about these guys?
Yeah, I don't believe that anyone ought to, you know, be forced to say we'll support.
Well, of course, but that, if you believe in the good old boy network and the party system, and then if they're going to be the ones to force Donald to do it.
I think it's proof, Sam, that the establishment doesn't want Donald Trump, and that's why these established people like John Kasich aren't going to vote for him. Of course, you have the people like John McCain, who's very deeply establishment, saying he's going to vote for him. But I think, you know, that's all explainable by the fact they've got to have people in the Trump campaign in case he does win to compromise him and to keep him on the reservation.
Some people are saying, you know what, they created the best Republican platform ever this go around, that it's got the most pro-life planks in it, if you will, and that the people surrounding the Donald might make the difference. You think that's true?
Well, the platform has never made any difference in terms of actual policy in the Republican Party or the Republican nominee for president. So it's irrelevant, in my opinion.
All right. Hillary Clinton, in my opinion, did a very horrible thing that most folks don't know about. There was a Chinese defector is where the story starts, right, Joel?
Yeah. Mr. Wang of China defected. He was a mid-level party official, and he defected to the U.S. Embassy. And the U.S. Embassy talked to Hillary Clinton, and Hillary Clinton said, call Beijing and tell him you've got him in the embassy and to come and collect him. I mean, a literal betrayal of a defector. And, of course, you know, all defectors have their baggage that come with them. But, man, you could have learned a tremendous amount from this defector. And what this does is put a chilling factor on all defections when it's noised about in China that you go to the U.S. Embassy and claim asylum, and all of a sudden you get turned over to Beijing. Boy, what does that say? It's just never going to have a major defector again. So this was a major compromise.
This is almost, in my opinion, one of the biggest reasons that we need to absolutely reject Hillary. This kind of stuff.
But you see, this would have happened under George W. Bush.
Oh, I agree. I'm sure that's true.
You know, any globalist is going to kowtow to China. And that's why you still have, no matter what they say about Chinese stuff, you have the administration decrying Donald Trump for being supposedly a friend of Putin and things, and yet the United States continues to seek to have disarmament agreements with Russia. And they have nothing with Red China, and they continue to have military exercises, inviting Chinese to eavesdrop on everything as part of a military exercise. I mean, this is just suicidal in the sense what would normally appear suicidal, but of course it's part of the globalist agenda of allowing China to eavesdrop on our military so that they can more better prepare for this preemptive strike that's coming someday.
It's hard to determine when it's coming. Some people are saying it's going to be right around the corner. Others are saying, nah, man, we got to wait till the end of this decade, maybe even further than that. It's very hard to get a handle on what they're doing. They see whenever you think things are as far to the brink as they can get without something busting loose, they find a way to inch us closer on multiple fronts. When we get back, Joel, you can respond to that. Then we'll talk about the New York Attorney General going after the Trump's Foundation, ignoring Kerry's, and I think this AG is in the back pocket of Hillary. We'll talk about it all. Liberty Roundtable Live with Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
The mainstream press, he who owns the media makes the rules. I like to say that, and I think it's absolutely true. It's covering up Hillary's health issues big time. Hillary will probably still become president. I'm predicting a Donald Trump surge, and then, well, right before the elections, Hillary will have her surge. Right on into the White House. The mainstream press is very famous for allowing each person to kind of surge and fail and surge and fail. And, well, it just so happens the one they want to win surges at the right time, huh? Wow. The New York Attorney General, literally going after Donald Trump's foundation, ignores John Kerry's foundation. And interestingly enough, I hear that the AG has kind of a relationship with Hillary, right?
Well, of course, that's true. that's interesting that, you know, with all of the mainstream media will mention that the Clinton Foundation is under attack, you know, for a pay-to-play, but they never really go into the details. They never really make it a point, but they are going into the details about Donald Trump Foundation. And, you know, Donald Trump has used the foundation for political purposes and other things. He has made contributions to crony politicians in order to buy favors in New York. But all these things pale in comparison with the systematic use of the system and the cover-up of Clinton's use for pay and play at much higher levels of office. So it is very, very hypocritical, but I expect this to continue.
Do you think that some of these things will come out on Donald and give him a lot of trouble before the end?
I don't think so much. If the mafia connection thing never resonated so much with the people, I don't think this is, because these are much, you know, less volatile than, you know, claiming that a person has relationships with the mafia. And of course, you know, the answer to that mafia thing is that, you know, anybody's going to build a skyscraper or deal with unions in a casino is going to have to deal with the mafia. I mean, that's because the mafia controls a lot of legitimate businesses in Las Vegas, and uses to launder illegitimate funds as well.
Yeah, it's hard to know if you have ties to the mafia and then Hillary has ties to who knows who. You wonder where the power really lies, huh?
Yeah.
It's kind of a shared brokered deal as far as I can observe.
Brokered deal?
I'm just saying, you get the mafia and the government looks the other way, and then you get the legitimate side of, you know, unions, and then they get a special favorite government, and pretty soon they kind of all coexist in a shared power scenario to some degree.
Well, absolutely true. I mean, the U.S., as in the drug war, prosecutes some drug offenses and then imports drugs under government protection, under other things. Same thing with the mafia. They use the mafia, but they prosecute a few mafia people each year to make it appear as if they're, you know, going up against the mafia. It's a very sophisticated level of deception.
All right, North Korea's in the news, speaking of international relations, and I don't know if Donald Trump would change our relationship there, but you've got an interesting headline, how North Korea evades sanctions.
Well, yes, you know, the U.S. is touting, you know, I've long made the case that the U.S. treats North Korea with kid gloves as compared to Iran, and Iran, you know, doesn't even have a functioning nuclear weapon, and North Korea does. It tested several and has the missiles to launch them, et cetera. But despite the administration's claim of tightening sanctions, and they're some of the heaviest sanctions in the world against North Korea, the point is it just easily evades them through Red China. And it's a very interesting level of deception because it isn't the government of Red China that directly ships arms and things to North Korea. They use so-called private companies in China to do the middleman work. Well, you know there are no private companies in the military procurement arena in China. They're all government operations fronting as private companies. But that shows how the Chinese, you know, want to claim that we're not violating the sanctions rule when they are. In fact, they did with Iran as well. The U.S. Really threatened anyone in Europe for violating the Iran sanctions, buying oil and other things, and yet they allowed Iran to sell oil to China, and there were no sanctions against China. And that's because, of course, we've developed this trade relationship with China, and it would hurt American business if you cut off all Chinese imports, which you should do if you're going to enforce a sanctions regime against China and North Korea.
Well, it's a crazy scenario. Do you think it would change much under Trump, or do you think they'd have too much control globalistically speaking?
Trump doesn't have any decent foreign policy advisors. They're all establishment. He just brought in James Woolsey, former CIA director, who's a neocon, into his camp. So I just don't think that anything will change under Donald Trump relative to foreign policy, only under the issues of the Mexican wall, the refugee situation, and the trade PACs, which I think is significant enough to, you know, support him over Hillary Clinton.
Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have enough time in 1 hour to cover all the incredible stories in the World Affairs Brief. You got to read it. You got to break it down. WorldAffairsBrief.com for the inside commentary on a troubled world coming into your inbox every Friday. And tell all your friends about it as well. You also talk about transgender triumphs accelerate. And there's no doubt that's true. You got the, what, NCAA doubling down against, South Carolina, or is it North Carolina?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. They're really going for broke, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. It's amazing how something as flimsy as this transgender claim has become the call for all these liberal things. It's just as if being gay isn't enough. Everyone's accepting that. They have to move on to something.
It's the latest racism discussion almost, or the latest women's lib thing. It's the new thing,
yeah,
right?
It really is. And worse, you know, they claim there's been no one ever taking advantage of the transgender claim in order to harass women or other things. This is just a victimless crime type thing, and it isn't true. As Will Grigg pointed out in Liberty News Daily, there's a lawsuit, of course, in Minnesota against a boy who is claiming to be transgender female and sits around in the girls' locker room and comments on their figure and asks women what their bra size is. I mean, this guy is just a predator. And we're going to see more of these people taking advantage of this once you get a protected status for transgenders, not just in bathrooms, but in women's lockers room. And, of course, Title IX is involved, which they're claiming, you know, includes transgenders, and so schools are not able to discipline this stuff.
Well, and as we turn our backs on God and become more and more and more secular, I'm telling you, we're going to reap the whirlwind. That's for sure. One example of that, you got NAFTA and GATT still at play. Looks like more of Ford Motors leaving for Mexico. Donald had a heyday with this. But I think the trend continues, right?
That's right. But unfortunately, Ford is correct in their claim, you know, that we have to do this because to beat the regulatory requirements and the tax requirements here in America. And they're right. NAFTA allows them to get this, to do this without penalty, taking the jobs to Mexico, but they are absolutely correct. It is cheaper to build cars in Mexico, not just because of the labor, but because of the environmental regulations as well.
Yeah, in fact, the regulations are even a bigger deal than the labor. You put them together, though, and it's intentional.
That's right. Absolutely.
Do you think Donald will be able to change that? I guess if Hillary gets elected, it'll just be a flash in the pan discussion point and then dropped, huh?
Well, no, I think Donald Trump will, but I'm just not sure that any of his individual negotiations are going to be any better than the NAFTA-type negotiations. Trying to bring jobs back to America just isn't going to happen unless you overturn the environmental regulations. I mean, just complying with OSHA alone costs millions of dollars for corporations, and that's not to say that safety isn't important, but OSHA and its requirements and the EPA and its excessive requirements, you know, make it almost impossible to comply. I mean, that's why Volkswagen took the big risk of cheating on the EPA requirements, and it was because of California alone. California's puts a particulate and sulfur requirement on diesel that nowhere else in the United States, even in Europe, as health conscious as they are, has.
Well, it's not compliable, is it? I mean, you can't do it.
Well, you can do it, but it really hurts performance. And that's why they had turned it off.
Not that I'm saying. Well, the expectations of Americans driving vehicles, though, you can't do it. They'll never buy your car.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're right. Literally, it can be done, but it's so ineffective by the time it gets done that I'm saying you can't do it because Americans will just simply choose another engine instead.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Congress must limit the Antiquities Act. I know we don't have enough time for this, but I want you to mention it. People can look it up at worldaffairsbrief.com.
Well, this is very, very important as Obama continues to designate, you know, environmental huge swaths of even the ocean as a national monument. The Antiquities Act was originally designed to protect archaeological sites and Native American structures, and now it's being used to tie up land anywhere in the United States or the world. And Senator Mike Lee says we got to have the same protections that Wyoming has. Wyoming was the first victim of the arbitrary taking of land under the Act, and in the big congressional battle that followed, a compromise was struck, whereas the land taken in Wyoming was allowed, but that Wyoming was exempted from any takings in the future. Boy, they've been saved because of that.
Well, that'll never last. All it'll mean is they appease you for a second until they find another way to abuse you.
Well, it has lasted in Wyoming because it was, you know, written in strong ink, and Utah wants the same exemption now, and so do a lot of other states.
And I mean, I'm saying it's better than nothing, but do you have confidence that it will hold over time?
Yeah, I do. For Wyoming, it's just written in stone.
Well, I hope that's true, and I hope it stays written in stone.
Never let the rest of the states get it, though.
I thought the Second Amendment was written in stone, but hey, c'est la vie for that, huh? All right, last tidbit. You can learn how to store butter. It's a prep tip in Joel Skousen's World Affairs Brief, written by his son, Andrew Skousen. Incredible stuff. WorldAffairsBrief.com. Joel, 10 seconds. Any last comments?
No, appreciate what you do, and just we'll continue this battle.
Thank you, sir. Godspeed. Bye. Joel Skousen, ladies and gentlemen. JoelSkousen.com for his incredible award-winning books. And then Joel Skousen's World Affairs Brief, WorldAffairsBrief.com, for commentary on a troubled world weekly in your inbox. This nation shall endure.